Good morning. How good it is to be together on this beautiful fall morning as we celebrate World Communion. As always, I trust you know, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. And that message is not only for those gathered here in the pews, but those listening from home as well. There are a number of announcements this morning, so it must be fall at St. John's. So listen up, and if you miss any of them, hopefully by reading the Enlightener and the Herald, you'll catch up on all that's happening. Our fall Bible study will begin on the 20th of this month. It's a Wednesday evening study. We will be doing it primarily in person with the hopes of also providing a link for those who may want to be able to Zoom in and join us from afar. We'll figure that out in the days ahead. But I do have the book that we're going to be using as the sort of jumping board for our conversation. It is entitled Blessed Are the Crazy. This is right up our alley, I think. And the author, Sarah Griffith Lund, is someone that both Pastor Addie and I have had the privilege of hearing in person. The book is an easy read. I have copies in my office if you'd like to purchase one for $14. They're going fast. The pile's about halfway down already from the early service, so check that out if you'd like to get a book and join us. Let me remind you that it is also Neighbors in Need Sunday. There is an insert in your bulletin spelling out what the Neighbors in Need offering will go toward this year. And if you don't have a Neighbors in Need offering envelope from your Enlightener, just mark on your regular envelope for Neighbors in Need, or there are also some extra envelopes out in the narthex in the brochure rack. And for our children, our Sunday school carryout connection boxes, there is still a cart in the narthex with boxes on it. They too have been going fast as children and grandchildren are getting boxes so that they can participate in the activities that are unfolding in the weeks ahead. Next week, when Pastor Addie is back among us, she will be lifting up some details surrounding that and plans for some in-person gathering as well. A reminder that it is calendar time. We are busy working on the 2022 St. John's calendar. Photos are being gathered. Dates are being put on the calendar, and sponsors are being sought for each month. If you'd like to honor someone, or remember someone, or lift up your business, or put a message in, or just sponsor a month because, call the church office and let us know of your interest. If you've been looking at your bulletin this morning and scoping it out, you're probably thinking, why isn't communion listed? It's an oversight. We are celebrating communion this morning, and I trust you picked up your communion elements as you entered. We'll be getting to that after we dedicate our offering, so fear not. And finally, a special thanks to Bill Leslie serving as our liturgist today. Now when you offer to be a liturgist, you have to do double duty. You have to be here at 8 o'clock as well, so they get paid twice. And we're very glad to have Bill among us. I think that's plenty of announcements for one Sunday morning. I'm going to invite you to join with me in taking a deep and slow breath, breathing in God's presence among us, breathing out whatever may be weighing you down or distracting you at this point. May we sense God's presence among us in ways that are unmistakably real. As we worship now, amen. To be enfolded in something is to be wrapped, surrounded, embraced, enfolded by a warm blanket, enfolded in a big hug, enfolded with an overwhelming sense of peace. You get the idea. Enfolding love is the very nature of the love our God offers us, a love made real in Jesus Christ, who with outstretched arms on a cross enfolded us in a love like no other. The enfolding love of Jesus is unconditional. There are no strings attached. And as we have reminded you on numerous occasions, this enfolding love is such that there is absolutely nothing we can do that would cause God to love us more or less. As we celebrate the sacrament of communion today with Christians all around the globe, we are reminded in a very concrete and tangible way what enfolding love looks like. It is a body broken and blood shed so that we might be whole, so that we might experience the life that really is life, enfolded in this life-giving love. We come together now from near and far to worship. In the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying our prayer of confession, which is printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. Great loving God, your deep desire is to enfold us in your love, to hold us close as we navigate the ups and downs of daily life. Yet we resist. We want our space, our freedom. We are convinced we can go it alone and need no one to hold our hand or show us the way. Forgive us, gracious God, for failing to recognize our need of you and one another. Forgive us for thinking that being stoic and independent are qualities that endear us to you. Grant us the humility and courage we will need to trust you with our very lives, so that we might experience the strength that comes from your ever-present enfolding love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That enfolding love, friends, is filled with grace, with mercy, with forgiveness. God's promise is sure. When we confess our sins, God is faithful. God is just. God forgives us and cleanses us from all that is not right. What a gift. Hold on to it. Live knowing it makes a difference, and share it every chance you get. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading today is from Psalms chapter 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And from the New Testament, Book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 2 through 16. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Amen.
This morning we have a special treat for our children's message, that is for our young ones and our young at heart. Ginny Wilkinson is going to be sharing with you a special project and idea. She was hoping to have her granddaughters Carolyn and Gwen as her assistants this morning, but unfortunately they're under the weather, so we're going to miss out on them. But Ginny has something of important information to share with us.
Can you pretend you were all up here with me as the children gather for children's sermons, and feel free to raise your hand or call out an answer. Who knows what manna on Main Street is? What is manna? Somebody. It's a nonprofit that helps people who don't have enough food. Now, how many of you have birthdays? Raise your hand. Yes, we all have birthdays. Some time ago, a friend of mine was working in a food bank, and a mom came up to her and said, "It's my daughter's birthday. Do you have a cake mix so I could make her a birthday cake?" That thought stayed in my mind for a long time, and recently it came together with some other ideas, and out of that sprang the birthday cake bag. Now, if each one of us on our birthday would make a birthday cake bag, we could share the joy of our birthday with others. And in that bag, you might put a cake mix. Now, when you bake a cake, what do you put on top of a cake? What do you put over a cake? You put icing. So you'll put icing in your birthday cake bag. And what makes a cake a birthday cake? Candles. Get a package of candles. And I heard somebody say the most important part. Sprinkles. What's a birthday cake without sprinkles? And you might want to do a little extra. Maybe a birthday card. And even a small gift. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot something. How about a baking pan? Okay. So you're going to make up a bag of this on your birthday. But many of us have had our birthdays already this year. You can do it now. And you can also do one for your children, and maybe even your grandchildren. Next week, I hope to see the shelf near the shelves where we put our food for manna filled with these birthday cake bags. Get a bag, and it can be plain, or it can be decorated, whatever suits you. Maybe your children or your grandchildren might decorate it, and bring it in so we can share our birthdays with everyone who does not have the resources to make a birthday special. After church, my daughter and I will be standing in the narthex and the elevator lobby with bags that you can take home. Some are already decorated by my grandchildren. And there'll be a little note inside or with it as to what you should put into it. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much, Jenny. When she shared this idea, she also checked it out with Manna, and they were very enthusiastic, so I think we can make a difference. It may seem like a small difference, but I think it will brighten a lot of lives. So thank you so much, Jenny. Let's be together in a spirit of prayer, and then we'll end with our Lord's Prayer. God, so often it is little things that make a huge difference. A birthday cake with candles and sprinkles to brighten someone's day, young or old. We give thanks for folks like Jenny with ideas and inspiration, and I give thanks for our wonderfully motley crew eager to respond. Guide us in all of our living to be thinking of others, as you do and as your son Jesus did. All of these things we pray in his name. Remembering the prayer he has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. invite you to join with me now in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, we are here because we need a word from you, a word that will give us strength, guide our living, offer us comfort, give us guidance. Please open our ears and our hearts, our minds and our eyes, so that we might hear in the midst of my words your word, and that we might have the courage and desire to act upon it. Amen. My inclination when I read today's gospel lesson, quite frankly, was to skip over the first part and go right to the good part about Jesus blessing and welcoming the children and the important role that they play in God's kingdom. I wanted to skip over that part about divorce. But in real life, we don't get to skip over the hard parts, do we? We don't get to skip over what's messy and painful and unpleasant and challenging. So we won't do it here either. We'll start at the beginning of our lesson from Mark, a lesson on divorce. Some of you are married, happily, or maybe not so much. Some of you are divorced. Some of you have remarried. Some of you are not married for a variety of reasons. The point of the gospel is not to reopen old wounds. And it is not to increase anyone's sense of guilt or inadequacy or failure. The point of the gospel is to put Jesus' words in a context and to hear clearly the mercy, the grace, and the love that surround those words. So the Pharisees had a question for Jesus about divorce. And what they were referring to when they asked him about whether or not it was lawful for a person to divorce his wife, they were literally quoting from the Hebrew Scriptures, specifically from Deuteronomy chapter 24. Check it out when you have a little time. The law is spelled out there. And basically what it says is if a husband finds anything about his wife that is objectionable, anything that annoys him, maybe a bad meal, maybe a bad hair day, who knows, he can write a certificate of divorce and then simply say three times, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and it's a done deal. But here's the problem. Women don't have that option. Their husbands can do as many objectionable things as they'd like, but they're stuck. What I love about Jesus' response is that he doesn't get roped in to the Pharisees' question. He refuses to respond to what is lawful or allowed, and instead chooses to redirect the question to focus on what God intended, what God hoped for from the start. And that is spelled out in the stories of creation, in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. What is spelled out there is God's intent for human beings when they come together in a committed relationship, for that to last, for it to be exclusive, and for it to be permanent. And we've all heard that familiar and oft-quoted line, what God has joined together, let no human being separate. We read it as a pronouncement, but it's really more of a plea. God saying to us, this is important. Hold on to it. Work at it. It matters. Make it last. But no matter how hard we work sometimes, marriage doesn't work. And there are all sorts of factors that contribute to its demise. Sometimes marriages implode from within, and sometimes there are external pressures that crush it from the outside. Either way, it's painful, often messy, difficult, but very, very human. It is no coincidence, and I trust you picked up on this as Bill was reading the lesson from Mark 10. Running right together in Scripture is this teaching on divorce, and without missing a beat, then a teaching about Jesus welcoming, blessing, loving the children to the objection of his disciples who were hell-bent on sending them away. It is important that these two things are paired together. Human beings who make mistakes, who fail, things fall apart, and children, which we all are in God's sight, being welcomed and blessed no matter how noisy, messy, or difficult we may be. The disciples wanted to send them away. They're problematic. They're difficult. And how does Jesus respond? He is not happy. Okay, he's indignant. It's one of the few times we read of Jesus really being angry. And what he says clearly is, "Let the children come to me." I hear him saying, "Don't you dare stop them, because it is to such as these that my kingdom belongs." To children who make mistakes, who blunder but get up and go on and try again. To children who receive the kingdom as a sheer gift, recognizing it's not something they're entitled to, it's not something they've earned, nor is it something they will lose if they mess up. It's a gift. Children come to God in much the same way they come to all of life, trusting, open, with imagination, with spontaneity, uninhibited. So hold on to that as you think about what Jesus had to say about marriage and his intent for us as human beings. Whether we have married or not, whether we have succeeded in marriage or failed, or some of each, not a one of us is a rejected child. We are loved. We are welcomed. We are blessed by a God who longs for us to keep at it, to keep trying, to do it better the next time. A God who made us in the divine image. A God who receives us with open arms, not some of the time, but all of the time. I think back over my ministry, and I am very aware that in the last 41 years, I have officiated literally hundreds of weddings. Marriages, which I am aware, have not all lasted until death do us part. But of this I am certain. Every couple I've had the privilege of marrying entered into that relationship thinking it would last. Just as the pairing of today's teaching on divorce with the pairing of the welcoming and blessing the children is significant, I think there is an equally significant pairing in our psalm for today, Psalm 8. One that focuses on the one hand on the fact that God has created us as human beings just a little lower than God's self, and has crowned us with glory and honor and given us dominion over all of creation. This same God in Psalm 8 talks about the little ones. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of that verse reads like this: "Nursing infants gurgle choruses about God. Toddlers shout the songs that drown out enemy talk." A And in the Common English Bible, we read, from the mouths of nursing babies, you, O God, have laid a strong foundation. On the one hand, we've got these adults, most of us here today, crowned with glory and honor and given dominion over God's creation. And on the other, we have the little ones, and there are some young ones among us, upon whom God has built a strong foundation. The two belong together. The two need each other. Yes, we have been given an awesome responsibility to care for all of creation. The animals, the birds, the fish, the water, the air, the world, and the children in it. We are called to protect, to oversee, to care for, to preserve. Our children, sadly, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will experience more extreme weather events than we can even begin to fathom. And they had nothing to do with it. They didn't create this. Those of us who have come before them, we have done it. We have misused the power that God has placed in our hands. Shame on us. The sooner we seriously begin working on turning things around, the better it will be for the little ones. God has called us to care for and protect, and on whom God has built a firm foundation. Around the world today, Christians of every ethnicity, color, gender, age, and inclination are celebrating communion. And many of them, like us, are doing it in a way that we never thought we would, with little individually wrapped communion elements, making the best of things as we continue to navigate amid a global pandemic. Even though it's wrapped in plastic, it is still an awesome mystery and an awesome gift. It is an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace. In some churches, children are not included in communion because the belief is, you need to understand what's going on. You need to be able to explain it. You need to have earned it. In other traditions, ours included, we say, no, the children are welcome at Christ's table. And while we may not be able to explain it, and they may not be able to verbalize what is going on, and who can really, celebrating communion alongside of caring, loving, believing adults leads to understanding. I couldn't help but remember that about 30 years ago at this time, I was immersed in writing my dissertation as part of the doctoral program at Lancaster Seminary. I had chosen to focus on making room in the church for children and the child in all of us. Why did I think that was important? And I still think it's important. Because unless we come to church and God and faith with the spirit of a child, with openness, with trust, with awe, with wonder, with a playful spirit, with a willingness to rest, dare I say, nap in God's arms, we're not going to get it. We're going to keep making the same mistakes over and over again. But if we come with that childlike openness to experience the mystery that, quite honestly, not a one of us can explain fully, then we will begin to see God. It's about far more than head knowledge. Yeah, that matters. That's important. We need to study and learn. But it's about what we do when we come together. It's about the relationships we form and the memories we have of the people in a place like this who care about us. A number of years ago, Alice Walker wrote a beautiful little poem that just makes me smile every time I share it, because I think she has captured well What really is at the heart of believing and understanding this God who claims all of us and our messy lives, no matter what? Her poem is simply entitled Sunday School, circa 1950. She writes, "Who made you was always the question. The answer was always God." Well, there we stood, 3 feet high, heads bowed, leaning into bosoms. Now I no longer remember the catechism or brood on the genesis of life. No. I pondered the exchange itself and salvaged mostly the leaning. Yeah. The relationships, the things we learn from people of faith who have lived life and experienced the messes and come out on the other side trying with God's help to do it better, to have learned from the mistakes along the way. It has been said that humankind can be divided into 4 basic categories. It's probably not quite this simple, but this is helpful. There are those who know they know. There are those who know they don't know. There are those who don't know they don't know, and they're scary. And then there are those who don't know they know. The last category, those who don't know they know, the children. Those young ones who speak words of wisdom and set examples for us, we would do well not to ignore. Jesus, the welcomer and lover of children, regardless of age, regardless of how many mistakes or successes we have had along the way, welcomes us, loves us with outstretched arms. May we dare to believe in that God. May we accept that love and that blessing so that along with the little ones who have been entrusted to our care, together, we might make a difference in our world. Amen. As we prepare to enter into our prayer time today, let me share with you joys and concerns that have been shared with me throughout the week and written in our book of celebrations. And we begin with some joys. Suzanne Laverty is celebrating her birthday today. Sarah and Mark Hogan celebrated their 16th wedding anniversary, I believe, on Friday, so we celebrate with them. And some good news from our basket raffle. I know many of us enjoyed that thoroughly and benefited from going home with wonderful baskets. A total of $1,656 was raised as a result of that event and will be used for special projects in the life of the church. Special thanks to Judy Johnston and her team for organizing that and for the many of you who contributed baskets. And a note from Steve Bossert. I'd like to thank the entire Motley crew for all of your prayers during my recent surgery and hospital stay. They were a huge help in my recovery. Thanks. And we're going to keep praying for Steve in the days ahead, for sure. And two concerns. Susie Franks, who was here at our early service this morning, asked that we pray for Claudia Lambing, her sister-in-law, who is battling breast cancer. And a request from the McMullen family, a wonderful friend of their daughter, a longtime friend, Sarah, as a result of what was supposed to have been a routine procedure in the hospital earlier this week, is now in very critical condition. She is the mother of two young children, and we ask you to keep Sarah in your prayers. Bill is going to be leading us now in prayer.
When I was going online looking for ideas around enfolding love as the theme today, I came across a Celtic prayer. Encircle us with your presence. Keep joy within. Keep bitterness out. Keep generosity within. Keep greed out. Keep love within. Keep self-seeking out. Keep light within. Keep darkness out. Dear God, please watch over all those with both joys and concerns and enfold them and us with your love and your presence. Help us to trust you always, even when things seem to be going wrong. Allow us to please hear and live the words of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
We take time now to dedicate the offering that has been brought so generously and freely by each of you, knowing that as we dedicate these gifts, we do so seeking to do God's work. Let us join together in singing the doxology. Gracious God, you are indeed the giver and the gift, and awesome and generous are your gifts to us. In response to your generosity, we give our gifts, seeking to do your work, which is both a privilege and a responsibility. May we use these gifts well May lives be touched. May your kingdom be broadened. May your love be shared. All of these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Before we enter into sharing communion, I want to make sure that everyone has communion elements. Is there anyone who managed to get to their seat without picking up communion on the way in, because our hospitality team is ready to come forward and make sure you have communion elements? Is there anyone without them? Up front here. So if you want to come up toward the front, I see we have some folks who, if you can bring a few up toward the front here. Barb, if you want to come on up front. We don't want to start without everyone having what they need in front of them. And while we're doing that, I know these elements are a little tricky to open, okay? And they're a little bit different from the ones. Barb, come on up here, right here. There we go. It's a tiny cellophane piece covering the wafer on top, and then a little foil piece that covers the grape juice beneath. And I will confess to you, I struggled. So if you need help, ask someone next to you to help you open them, because we don't want this to be a frustrating experience, but we want it to be a safe experience. So with that in mind, we have come. Whether we are physically in this place or listening from the safety of our homes, we have come from the north and the south, the east and the west, to gather around this table where all who hunger and thirst for what Christ has to offer are welcome. Older, younger, and everyone in between, the little ones, those who can explain this sacrament and those who have no idea how to explain this sacrament, those whose faith is full and strong, those who come with questions and struggles. You are welcome at this table, because it's not my table. It's not St. John's table. It is Christ's table, and his arms are outstretched for each one of us. We remember Jesus in that upper room, sharing a Passover meal with his disciples. In the midst of that meal, he took bread that was part of the meal, unleavened bread, and he broke it. And after he shared it with those he loved, you know exactly what he said. He said, "This is my body given for you." Given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He also took the chalice of wine that was a part of every Passover meal, and as he blessed it and then shared it with those he loved, he said, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood, as often as you drink it. Do this in remembrance of me." Oh, how we have longed to come together to share these simple elements. Perhaps not in the way that we are accustomed to, but that isn't what matters most. What matters is that Christ is here among us in ways that we can't explain or describe, but it's real, and you know it. That's why you're here. So we pause before sharing these elements to ask God's blessing to be present here among us, to touch us, each one of us, in the way we need to be touched. Let us pray. Loving God, you have invited us through your Son, Jesus, to be at this table where there is room for everyone. Everyone. No matter how many mistakes we've made, no matter how good or not good we are welcome here. And for that we give thanks. Bless these simple, prepackaged elements. You can work miracles through little things. You can reach us no matter what the barriers may be. So bless these elements, that we might be blessed, and in turn become a blessing to others. For this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite you to peel back the little cellophane piece, the clear plastic piece, if you can, to get the wafer that is below. No need to rush as you do that. And as we share this wafer together, may it be for us a reminder that Christ's body was broken so that we might be made whole, his life given so that we might have life. Remembering this, we take and eat. Here you're already working at getting that little foil back. Take your time. As we share the cup of communion, may it be for us a reminder of not just blood poured out, but life poured out, so that we might have life in all of its fullness, now and forever. Remembering this, we take and drink. I do think Jesus smiles at times when he observes the church in action, but smiles in a way that gives us hope because he understands our humanity and all that is a part of it. Let's pause to give thanks. Oh God, it is so good to be together, whether we are here in the pews or together from afar where it is safe and we can participate with others. You have fed us. You keep feeding us. And that is an incredibly good thing. Today, having been fed, may we dare to go out into the world and find ways to feed others with birthday cakes, with our kindness, with our help, with our resources, with our very lives. May we not lose heart as we seek to be your beloved community in this world. Amen. We have been fed, we have been nourished by our God in ways this world never can or never will. Now the challenge is to go out into that world, the world God has entrusted to our care to watch over, to protect, especially the little ones. It's hard work. It's done better together. So go. And as you do, may God's light surround you. May God's love enfold you. May God's power protect you. May God's peace sustain you, now and always. Amen.